broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Jesse J. Hey! Seems like everybody's got a price. I wonder how they sleep at night. When the sale comes first and the truth comes second, just stop for a minute and smile. Why is everybody so serious? Acting so damn mysterious. Got shades on your eyes and your heels so high that you can't even have a good time. Everybody looks to their left, yeah. Everybody looks to their right. Can you feel that, yeah? We'll pay them with love tonight. It's not about the money, money, money.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Absolutely. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 28th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers absolutely is one of the keys to success. It is the solution at our fingertips that can be peacefully implemented by we the people today. Welcome to the broadcast. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And furthermore, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. I am Sam Bushman, your host. Our website, libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net for our nationally syndicated radio network, lovingliberty.net. If you go there, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, free around the clock. There's a iPhone and an Android app that you can download free as well and listen to not only to the live shows, but to the podcast whenever your little heart desires. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're gearing up for an elongated, extended Memorial Day weekend. And if we got a barn burner two-hour broadcast for you today, it's so much so that I don't even have time for the recap. How do you like that? I actually have time for a little bit of it because we talked about Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com, and we talked to him about honest money. And we talked about the honest money report. We talked about all kinds of cool stuff with Brian Rust. That's a great award-winning show yesterday. Listen, check it out at your convenience. But today we don't have time for the whole recap. We're just going to go straight to our co-host of the day, if you will, Chris Carlson, a discussion of all things liberty. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we do need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
Roger that. Welcome to the broadcast. And money is our topic today. And Chris does a great job at preparation. And the problem with his preparation is it's kind of like Dr. Scott Bradley, who will be on with us next hour. These guys are not capable of simple, simple delivery. Hey, I want to talk about these five bullet points. What they want to do is they want to give me like 14 novels and say, Sam, can you turn that into an hour five bullet point broadcast? And my response is, you know what? Even with guys like you, I can get it done. The discussion today is money. The discussion today is the issue is honesty, and the discussion today is, look how we started out in America, and look where we are today, and you wonder why we have the problems we have. That summary highlights, let's start out with a little bit of the understanding of the origin of money. Chris, let's start there.
Okay, well, historically, money has been gold and silver, and there's a very good reason for that. Gold and silver has retained its value over the millennia. For over 6,000 years, gold and silver has been recognized as legal and lawful money, no matter what country you hail from, no matter what language you speak. The language of money has always been gold and silver, and there's a reason for that. And Doug Casey from internationalman.com gives us five reasons that has historically been the case. Do you want to go through those five reasons right now, Sam?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. Because I think they relate to the reasons the founding fathers had as well, and I think it's critical to understand. They didn't just stumble on this like, how did I get here? They understood the five reasons. They had experienced negative effects of not having those five reasons in place. This was upfront personal to these people as they dealt with King George from literally thousands of miles away. Literally as a dictator, they dealt with these reasons. They were personal and up close to these people. We act like they're farmers and it was irrelevant and they don't have a clue and it was yesteryear stuff and it's not relevant. That is the big lie. It's as up in front and personal and close to them as it is to us, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the founding fathers were extremely wise men. They were good and they were honest as well, Sam. And we could use some of that wisdom today, and we're going to impart some of that wisdom hopefully to our listening audience today. So Doug Casey, who is a financial guru, you can find him on internationalman.com. He said there are five things that should be associated with our money. It should be durable. Okay, well, you think about gold and silver. Is gold and silver durable, Sam? Yes. It lasts for an indefinite period of time. We're probably using gold and silver today, you know, for various and sundry reasons that was used literally 6,000 years ago. So durability, it has to be durable. Paper currency is not so durable in my estimation. Okay, that's number one. Number two is divisibility. You have to be able to divide it in a way that you can pay for something that's $1.98, okay? If you have a fine Ming vase that's worth $1,000, you're not going to take it into a store and buy a can of shaving cream in exchange for a fine Ming vase. You know, you'll be able to buy quite a few containers of shaving cream, but it's not divisible. You can't, cut it in half and say, okay, I've got $500,000 now or whatever. So gold and silver satisfies that requirement, divisibility. You can divide it into smaller pieces or larger pieces or whatever to serve your purposes in order to, buy things that require specificity in your exchange mechanism. So divisibility. It has to be recognizable or consistent. People need to recognize it as having value. Okay, and then gold and silver does satisfy that requirement, especially when you put it into coins, which the founding fathers in our founding document, the Constitution, talked about. Congress shall regulate the value of coins, so coin money, and regulate the value thereof. Okay, so and it has to be convenient. You have to be able to carry it about with you so that, for example, if we were on a barter system and you had a wagon that you wanted to exchange for goods and services, it wouldn't be very convenient to carry that wagon around with you. Gold and silver coins, however, are very convenient to carry around with you in your pocket. So that's number four. Number five is it has to have intrinsic value. Gold and silver does have intrinsic value beyond just as a medium of exchange. We use it in dentistry. We use it in electronics manufacturing, Sam. We use it in all sorts of other applications, which gives it, jewelry too. Don't forget about jewelry. I'm wearing a piece of gold on my finger as we speak, and I assume Sam is doing the same thing. So having intrinsic value makes it valuable and incapable of being fled out of existence or out of Doug Casey kind of alludes to in these five criteria that money should satisfy. And I would say it has to be inkitted, and those two things would solve our problem that we have today. As we're going to talk about inflation, would solve that problem. And unfortunately, the founding fathers, Sam, they mentioned gold and silver in our founding document, the Constitution, in a way that could be disregarded. And if you want to go to the Constitution,
let's talk about
now,
that in a second. We'll talk about how it's disregarded. We'll talk about the tax relevancy and the reason that the government had literally involvement in the money in the first place. There's a few of those reasons. Taxes are one of them. Consistency and reliability, where you can count on it in terms of weights and measures, is another. So there's a legitimate role for the general government. Some call it the federal government. Some call it the national government. But I'm going to call it the general government because that's kind of what the founders referred to. And we want to understand all those things. But first, I want to get to a little bit more about money here. So there's five unique reasons that gold and silver is specifically unique and valuable. In other words, perfect for the medium of exchange. Five reasons gold is an ideal medium of exchange. Doug Casey, you need to remember that. Internationalman.com is where you can read his incredible article and information on this. Now, before we continue, we want to talk about money a little bit. What is money? If you can't define what money is, then what, Chris?
Then we have inflation, because the people who have a monopoly on creating that money, i.e. the Federal Reserve here in America, and we've got central banks throughout the world in every country except three, we won't go into that, but it can be inflated, and that's what we are experiencing right now.
That's what the Founding Fathers wanted to guard against. That's what we need to guard against as well. I want to add a couple of reasons, in addition to the five reasons that Doug gave, why gold and silver is so legitimate in terms of its unique position to be the medium of exchange, and why everything else won't work near as well. Hang.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Rapid City, South Dakota. Gateway to the historic monument at Mount Rushmore. Blue skies, open country, a friendly and healthy population, and Red Pill Expo 2021, June 5th and 6th at the Monument Convention Center in Rapid City, South Dakota. Can't make it to Rapid City? Not a problem. The expo will be live streamed and archived should you miss any of it. Red Pill Expo is the major public event of Red Pill University. The mission of the expo and the university is to bring together world-class experts to set the record straight on fake narratives, fake history, and fake news. At each and every Red Pill Expo, truth seekers unite to get a better understanding of how the world really works, a world where collectivism reigns. It's time for individualism and an open mind. Mark your calendars and make your plans now to attend Red Pill Expo 2021. Get more details and register today at redpillexpo.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman on your radio talking about money. What the heck is money? Money is a medium of exchange. And you know what? We just read five reasons why gold and silver is perfect for money. The Founding Fathers understood it. But this is a biblical reality as well. Let's be clear. Money in the days of old or through the history of the world has been, when it's honest, weights and measures, as the Bible calls it. Money's always gold and silver for the reasons that Doug articulated. But you have a few more, Chris, and then I want to add one as well, sir. Let's start there for a minute, because people need to understand what is money and why gold and silver is so unique. Most people are like, well, something else will work. You can use carrots, or you can use this, or you can use that. And they're right, you can. But it's not near suited for all the reasons we're highlighting that gold and silver is suited for money. It's a misnomer to think anything else can work. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I did add a couple, and Doug does allude to them in his five reasons. But one is, probably the most important one is, you cannot inflate it like you can a dollar bill. Or what we have today, which most people use, Sam, is electronic money. They're simply entries into a balance sheet on a computer. And that's how most of our money is manifested today. But with gold and silver, you just cannot electronically bring it into existence. You have to mine it. You have to refine it. You have to dig it out of the ground. And that is a natural check against it being inflated. And once you inflate a monetary unit, like the dollar bill, you have what is called inflation. And that is one of the most misunderstood concepts in today's economic world, Sam. And I wish I could educate the American people on how our monetary system allows inflation to occur so easily, and how that results in the loss of yours and my spending power. And people don't even understand it, because governments now do not have to tax their people directly. They don't have to take money out of their bank accounts. People don't see that money going out of their billfolds, for example. What happens is the value of the money that they have becomes less and less valuable as money, as government creates more and more money, either electronically or through the printing presses. And that is a form of theft. It is wrong. It's occurring in our nation. It has been occurring in our nation since the founding of the Federal Reserve System in 1913. And America has lost about 98% of their spending power over that 108-year period, Sam. And that is a travesty. It has to be addressed. Ron Paul, over the commercial break, Ron Paul talked about a day of reckoning. And that day of reckoning is very close at hand, Sam. If we don't get a control on the printing of money, when Congress can appropriate this latest bill under Joe Biden is $1.9 trillion, Sam. If we put $1.9 trillion additional dollars into circulation in our economy, do you know the devastating effect that that's going to have on the value of the existing money that we have?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a bad tale to tell. And we need to understand this inflation discussion. Let me articulate it to you. When we talk about inflation, what we're really talking about is the manipulatable reality of fake money, of fiat currency. And to articulate it, inflation means that your dollars buy less and less and less of real goods. All right? So it might take a dollar to buy a candy bar today. Inflation says tomorrow it'll take $5 or $10. Or $30, or $100, or $10,000. And you say, Sam, that change can't happen that fast. And the answer is, look at other countries in the history of the world. It can, it does, and it will. How can that happen, you ask? Well, the answer is because when we have fake currency, we're not trading value for value in an honest discussion. We're trading fake value for real value. We're trading confidence-based value for something of real substance. And the problem is, when the confidence game, when the con game comes to a halt, then it becomes very evident that it was nothing but a con. So let me prove the point to make it very simple for you. When the government prints a $1 bill, it costs them about 2 cents to print it. But they mark it as $1. Who made the 2 cent value piece of paper worth a dollar? The Federal Reserve. The dishonest banking cartel. Where do they get the authority to do that? Well, they don't have real authority to do that because it's against the supreme law of the land. But they've got fake authority. They do it. People are ignorant of it. But now we've inflated, haven't we? We took something that was worth 2 cents, and now it's worth, quote, a dollar. But here's the next question. What's the difference between a dollar and a $5 and a $10, $20, $50, $100 bill? Virtually, they're the same piece of paper. They're the same ink. You might have a little more ink to write one versus 100. The two zeros might make a little more ink, but it might change it from 2 cents to 2 1/4, 2.5 cents, 3 cents, maybe. But all of a sudden, how does that one have $100 in value? The answer? We've created a lie that has inflated that $100 bill 100 times more than that $1 bill, and the 5 and the 10 and the 20 respectively along the way. Well, that's bad enough. Okay? That's bad enough, but it doesn't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to understand money, it doesn't stop there. Because not only have we dishonestly inflated all these bills now from 2.5 cents, the real cost of creation, its real value, to whatever the face value is. But let's make it worse now. Let's say that the government is the only source of money. And that government makes a deal with a third-party banking, private banking cartel. And so now they're in bed together in a fascist, abusive, fake money system, counterfeiting system. Now, let's also then say that, hey, we're going to lend this money to people now. Right? We're going to give you a dollar. But we're going to say that you got to pay interest on that dollar that we just lent you. So now it costs $1.03, just the 3 cents is the representation of interest. Don't get stuck on how much interest we're paying. Just understand that it's a sum of money above the original amount. I'm going to use 3 cents for my analogy. So now you've borrowed a dollar from this cartel, this counterfeiting operation, government in bed with private banking thugs. And I borrow a dollar and it costs $1.03 to pay back. $1.03. Now, let me ask you a fundamental, simple, clear, concise question. Can I ever pay back that $1.03? And the answer is no, because the only place I can get money is from that cartel, and they want interest on every dollar I buy. So if I borrow a second dollar, because I can't get any money anywhere else, right? If I borrow a second dollar, now I owe $1.03 plus $1.03. So now I owe $2.06. $3.09, $4.12, $5.15. Now, I've got $5 in my hand because that's what I borrowed over and over and over five times. How am I going to pay it back? Let's say I give the $5 back. Good, I'm out of debt, right? No, I still owe 15 cents. That's the interest. Where am I going to get the money to pay the 15 cents? Do I got to borrow more money with more interest? Do you see the con game? So not only have we inflated money from the get-go, from the start, which is in its original dishonest creation, but then we've added insult to injury by creating a system that can never be paid back or never be resolved. Now let's add insult to injury a third time and say, now when we pass that money around, as interest continues to grow, that 3 cents on interest on every dollar over time becomes 10 cents, 20 cents, 50 cents, another dollar, we still don't have any money to pay it back. So the con game has begun, and there's no way to resolve or end the con game either. But then let's make it even worse. Now let's start to tax people in addition to the interest. So now you borrowed a dollar, you owe $1.03, but now you owe $3 or 3 cents in taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you resolve this con game? And I'll tell you, I brought this reality up to people who claim they're money experts. I brought this up to serious economists. And the dishonest ones say the following. Well, Sam, what you don't understand is that it's a very complex system. And what you need is an economics degree, which you don't have, to understand the intricacies of the system. And so they basically either show their ignorance by lying and pointing to something that they know nothing about dishonestly, or they are doing that to try to, you know, say, since you don't have a degree, you're ignorant and you don't know, but the rest of us do know, and I'm sorry we can't explain it to ignorant old Sam. The honest ones admit that, Sam, you're absolutely spot on correct, and I don't know what to do to solve the problem. The only answer to solve the problem is to return to the honest money of our founding fathers. The dishonest money system is a debt-based system that can never be resolved, and the issue is honesty. And the fix is in because it will continue to grow, continue to grow, continue to grow, and there's no way to stop it. The honest money system is based on intrinsic value, which I want to talk about. And then we'll get to a little more discussion about my additional point about the values of honest money, gold and silver. Chris Carlson with me. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Senate on Wednesday unanimously passed a bill proposed by Senators Josh Hawley, the Republican from Missouri, and Mike Braun, the Republican from Indiana, requiring President Biden to declassify intelligence related to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. Former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn said this week he believes the COVID-19 is a weaponized operation of the Chinese Communist Party against the United States. The country of Colombia has been rocked by protests for a month, with critical supplies cut off due to roadblocks. Another nationwide strike is expected on Friday, and accusations of police brutality growing louder. Marta Lucia Ramirez, Colombia's vice president and foreign minister, says the roadblocks are preventing food and critical medical supplies like oxygen from being transported between Cali, the epicenter of the protests, and the capital of Bogota. USA Radio News.
Recently, Facebook announced its ban on former President Trump, but promised to review the ban in 6 months. Now, Newsmax wants to know if you think Trump should be back on Facebook. Vote in Newsmax's national poll and let us know your opinion. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just seconds. Make your voice heard. We'll share poll results with the 30 million people who watch Newsmax TV. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel in America, with great recent guests like Donald Trump, Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, John Voight, Alan Dershowitz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, and so many more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. So vote now in the Newsmax poll on Facebook's Trump ban. Just text North to 39747. Let Newsmax and America know your opinion.
Police brutality claims are coming out of Washington State. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Three police officers in Washington State were charged in the killing of Manuel Ellis, a black man who died while being handcuffed and restrained last year. Attorney General Bob Ferguson filed second-degree murder charges against officers Christopher Burbank and Matthew Collins and a first-degree manslaughter charge against Officer Timothy Ranking. Ellis, 33, was killed after police stopped him as he was walking home. Documents state that officers slammed Ellis into the ground unprovoked as they punched and hogtied him. He repeatedly said, "I can't breathe." Witnesses say they saw Ellis and there was no sign of aggression. They said Officer Burbank swung open the passenger door of the car and struck Ellis from behind, knocking him to his knees. He then stunned him and applied pressure to the back of his neck with both of his knees while he was restrained.
USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio talking about money, money, money. Honest money is the issue, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, honesty is the issue. So I kind of broke that down in a simple way to understand honest money versus dishonest money. Dishonest money has no real value for value trade. Money is really deemed as the medium of exchange. All right, but it's got to be honest, and it's got to have value in and of itself. And if it doesn't, and they make up value, they manipulate it, we have a debt-based, dishonest medium of exchange or money. The only real money is an asset-based economy based on true constitutional currency, gold and silver, that has value by its very nature, ladies and gentlemen. And you can't manipulate it, and you can't inflate it like you can these other currencies. Any other reasons, Chris, that you want to mention?
Well, just to add, and you've done a very good job of summing up the fraudulent nature of the Federal Reserve System. And everybody in the world, like I said, except three countries, have this type of a system. So our saving grace, Sam, if you can look at it as that, is the fact that every other country is inflating its currency at basically the same rate as we are inflating our currency. So it looks as if, you know, we're pretty comparable with other nations, which is really not a good thing, because now the whole world is suffering from this phenomenon. And we can go into why that exists and who's coordinating it from a very position of great power. But I would like to just illustrate one more point about how fraudulent the system is. Like you said, Sam, if you and I tried to do the same thing that the Federal Reserve System does on a regular basis, we would be prosecuted, we would be charged and convicted of counterfeiting, and we would be thrown in jail for a long, long time. And if we can't do that with impunity, then why should anybody else? And the people that do this, by the way, just one more point, and then I'll let you continue. The people who are doing this, Sam, most of them are not even American citizens. So do you think that they're going to have a vested interest in our prosperity? I don't think so. Anyway, continue.
In fact, they have a vested interest in just the opposite for control and manipulative purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. My final reason, in addition to Chris's and Doug Casey's reasons, are that God created gold and silver. Okay, it's part of God's creation, and therefore he's in control of it. Fake currency, fiat money, dishonest money, is made by man. It's a piece of paper printed and created by man. So really, this fake money versus honest money discussion is about God versus man. And like the Tower of Babel, or Babel, as we jokingly say, you know, who's in charge around here? And I submit to you that God has the ability with his creations to make them slippery. What I mean by that is when people obey the commandments of God, gold and silver is found aplenty. In fact, for the righteous, God says in the Bible, there's room to spare. There's plenty. Okay, this man-made, the sky is falling lie about we don't have enough resources is dishonest and not true. Okay? And the reality of it is God has control of gold and silver. And when the people do right, they can find it, discover it, use it. It's a blessing. But when the people are wicked and evil and turn their backs on God, they lose the spirit. They lose the ability to receive the bounty of God's creation because they're rejecting God. And so my point is that God has the ability. For example, they say, well, Sam, in modern day with all of our computers and all of our modern use of gold and silver, there'd never be enough gold and silver to cover our needs, to replace what we've got now. No, there wouldn't be enough to replace dishonesty. If you take every dollar that's worth 2 cents and call it a $100 bill, there would be no way that we could cover that dishonesty. You're right. But there's plenty to cover honest weights and measures. There's plenty to cover an honest value for value exchange. It took a lot of work to get that silver out of the ground, to discover it, to find it, to get it out of the ground, to mine it, then to turn it into a coin. Right? Mint it, all the different things along the way that a treasury does, that creates value. When I hold that silver eagle, silver dollar in my hand, it represents all that it took to get it and refine it and make it portable and make it all the different things that give it its intrinsic value. There's value there now. Work into the medium of exchange, gold and silver. The value's there. That's the reality of honest money. The reason I spend so much time articulating that is to really get you all to understand that gold and silver is unique in that God created it as opposed to man. And it's unique in that God can make it plentiful or scarce at his will. When we don't obey God, it's hard to find. We can't keep track of it. We lose it. We can't find it. There's not enough. But when we keep the commandments of God, there's plenty. All right. And to those of you who say, well, we've only got this much gold on the earth or this much, you know, the experts say we've only got this much gold. Are those the people, the same people that told you that we were out of oil in 1977? Yeah. Back in 1977, what was that, 40 years ago? 45? Fine. Are those the people that made you, with your license plate, go into even days and odd days to get gas, and you couldn't get gas on the wrong days because, by golly, we were going to have an incredible oil shortage, and we were about out of gas. So we created the energy department to go ahead and, is it that people, and 40 years later, we've got plenty of gasoline. So much gasoline that we're exporting it to other countries. And that's 45 years later, folks. We're not close to out of gas. How can we have so much gas when they thought we didn't? Well, either they lied when they said that we didn't, or they were not acquainted with God. What if we find another massive oil vein? Will we say, well, we thought there was not so much oil, but there's more than we thought? What if we find another vein of gold or silver? Or, ladies and gentlemen, God's in charge of his creations. Never forget that reality check, please. That is the quintessential reason that constitutional currency should be biblical weights and measures. Chris Carlson.
You know, the scarcity of gold and silver is why it is so valuable as a medium of exchange, for reasons we've already articulated. And then in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, Sam, Congress has the ability to regulate the value of gold and silver coins. What does that tell you? If gold and silver do become seemingly scarce, you know, in contradiction of what you just said about God creating more for us, if in the event that they do become scarce, what we can do is we can regulate the value to make it more proportional to the amount of goods and services in circulation in society, thus regulating and balancing that equality with goods and services. So there are built-in mechanisms that allow Congress to adjust the value of gold and silver coins so that they are proportional to the number of goods and services in circulation, thus solving that problem that people claim is going to render gold and silver incapable of solving our problems. So I've just proven them wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious discussion. Let me tell you why. It directly relates to you. It's not a discussion of the founding fathers that's irrelevant for today. It's not a pie-in-the-sky discussion of economic opinions. Here's where the rubber meets the road. According to Doug Casey and Mitt Romney and many others, internationalman.com is Doug's website for future reference. Half of all Americans are recipients of government money. In other words, of fake, dishonest currency. Now, Mitt said that years ago. I submit to you now with the greatest handouts ever known under coronavirus. Way more than half is the reality now. Chris, but understand that gold and silver has been the traditional hedge against this inflation, but now they're under assault and constant manipulation, which is literally pushing more money into fake stocks and cryptos and everything else because people don't know where to go. But the inflationary reality is here. Higher inflation is here, writes Joel Skousen, and it won't be short-lived. All right, these are serious things that relate to you and your wallet. This has transcended a discussion on money from an analytical point of view, and it's made it front and center for your day-to-day reality. Just go try to buy lumber to build your next building. Just try to go buy gas, and you'll get the point, Chris.
Lumber is up 300% over this time last year, by the way, Sam, just to throw out a statistic. And, you know, gas, everybody knows what gas used to cost about a year ago. Reality is just like Rand Paul in the, not the last commercial break, but the one previous to that, he said the day of reckoning is coming. And you know what, Sam, I'm gonna tell you, I can't wait till that happens. Now, I'm not a defeatist. I don't like to see people suffer, but here's something that I do want. And I think I'm in line with what Heavenly Father is about to allow the American people to experience. And that is the consequences of our own foolish actions in electing the politicians who have put us in a situation where we are now starting to realize the consequences of our foolish actions and allowing them to spend without accountability. And there will become that day of reckoning, and we're starting to see that, and it's going to get worse.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, a couple of other tidbits to toss in the mix for you. I want to tie this more to the Constitution and tie this more to the reality for you and I, because this is not a philosophy discussion. This is a reality discussion that relates to you and your family and your ability to make a living. Directly, it'll hit you in the wallet, if I may say so myself.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Worldwide, nations have been stripped of their rights and freedoms to make their own choices in life. Choices are made for them by their government. Insane, isn't it? Attend Red Pill Expo 2021, June 5th and 6th at the Monument Convention Center in Rapid City, South Dakota. Can't make it to Rapid City? The expo will be live streamed and archived should you miss any of it. Red Pill Expo is the major public event of Red Pill University. The mission of the expo and the university is to bring together world-class experts to set the record straight on fake narratives, fake history, and fake news. At each and every Red Pill Expo, truth seekers unite to get a better understanding of how the world really works, a world where collectivism reigns. It's time for individualism and an open mind. Mark your calendars and make your plans now to attend Red Pill Expo 2021. Get more details and register today at redpillexpo.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So the inflation is here, and it's here to stay. I hate to tell you that, but I think it's reality. Now, I think they might temporarily ease it. They have other ways to manipulate the economy to make you believe all is well. But it is not well, ladies and gentlemen. We have literally spent more money in the last one, two, three presidents than in our whole history. So in the last 20 years, we've become in debt to our eyeballs more so than the first 200 years of our nation. Those are general statement numbers, not factual time reality, but in general to kind of understand it. This is a serious problem, and it's only going to get worse. And at some point, we're going to be forced to not take another swig from the false prosperity of the economic bottle, comparing it to alcoholism, of dishonesty. We're going to have to, at some point, wake up, smell the roses, shatter the bottle of dishonesty, and account for reality. At some point, our debt holders will not let it continue. When that is, I don't know. But I'm telling you that fake money has always resulted in an absolute complete meltdown. And then oftentimes on the heels, those people who want tyranny create a jubilee, a financial reset, which is even more tyrannical than the first round of dishonest abuses. The only way out of it, ladies and gentlemen, is to return to the intrinsic value, the money created by God Almighty, where he controls the availability, etc., of that currency. When we keep his commandments, he blesses us and protects us. When we don't, hey, we end up on our own, and the results are disastrous. Chris, that's why the founding fathers understood that honest money, intrinsic value, honest weights and measures currency was so critical. They understood it, codified it in the Constitution, that what, nothing should be used for the payment of debts except for gold and silver?
Okay, well, here's where it gets a little tricky. So I'll read the provision in Article 1, Section 9. Actually, Article 1, Section 10. Here's what it reads, Sam. No state, now you're referring to the states in the Union, shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Now, let me clarify why they specified states rather than federal government. I wish they had specified federal government in this case. But originally, what it was intended, the federal government intended to collect taxes directly from each individual state, and then the state would decide how they were going to tax their citizens. And that was an additional protection for the states and the citizens to not be overtaxed by an oppressive federal government. But, you know, with the passage of the 16th Amendment in 1913, Sam, they overrode that provision in the Constitution, so the states are no longer able to provide that bulwark against oppressive taxation. And that's why that provision in Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution really doesn't, I mean, in the minds of politicians, obviously, it doesn't apply. In my mind, it very much applies, and in your mind as well. But that's how they're able to get away with the creation of the Federal Reserve System, of the direct income tax, which is another violation of the Constitution. In Article 1, Section 9, it reads, no capitation or other direct tax shall be laid. And then it goes on to say, except in proportion to the census. So originally, Sam, the Founding Fathers had intended for us to take a census every 10 years, right? And according to the proportion of citizens that you had in your state, your tax burden then would be assessed. So if, let's say, the state of Utah had 2% of the entire population of the nation, well, their tax burden would be 2% of what the federal government needed. And if the federal government decided that they were going to become oppressive, then we have the power of the individual states behind the citizens to appeal to the government for redress of grievances. But now we don't have that because the federal government...
Hold on, and to withhold the money if the federal government or the general government didn't behave properly. So if Utah had 2% of the nation's responsibility to cover appropriate expenditures, then I, Sam Bushman, if there's 3 million people in America, I have 1/3 millionth of that 2% that's my obligation. And the whole design was to keep the federal government small and obedient to the states whose service... the general government is at the pleasure of the states. That was the intent of the founders. But this dishonest money has turned the whole thing upside down. For example, is income tax voluntary? Well, sadly, it's not. I know that people think that it is, but just try it and lose everything you have, and then we can debate it. Okay, I'm against the income tax completely because I believe that it's contrary to the founders' vision of fiscal policy. Okay, that's why. And listen carefully now. So they're using this taxation to continue the abuses with this dishonest money. I mean, even the sales tax alone in recent years, it used to be you were just taxed in your state, right? Now all 50 states want your money. But now there's over, listen carefully, there is over 10,000 sales tax jurisdictions in America and growing. Did you know that? So this is the point. There's no check at all on the abuses that these dishonest taxes can create.
Not to mention the fact that it is very expensive to comply with the however many thousands and thousands of pages of both state, sales, federal taxes. I mean, not even the most enlightened lawyer in this world, like we pointed out yesterday, Sam, is going to be aware of all of the loopholes and the requirements attendant with all of these taxes. Nobody can know really how much you owe, and that's the problem. In the process of trying to comply, we spend billions and billions of dollars every year just to figure out how much we owe both the state, local, and federal governments. So it's a mess.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the reality. The only way back is to embrace constitutional currency. That's what the Constitution says. The states could only use that. The big differences between a dishonest money system that's fake and a real honest money system, the dishonest money system has to have a monopoly to keep the dishonesty perpetuating. An honest money system says, look, what if I pray hard to God and I don't have the ability to pay my debts and I go out and he helps me find a vein of gold and I mine that gold and I can, you know, work hard, so that work is value, and then I use that to convert that into gold and silver, which is value, and then I use that gold and silver to embrace the honest money, honest value of exchange. Okay, there's not a monopoly on money with constitutional currency. Whenever you have paper or some other type of, there's a monopoly on money. You could say, well, Sam, crops can work. No, because if you go check out the five reasons, and then the extra reasons Chris Carlson gave and the reason that I gave, none of these other mediums of exchange have the stability that money, gold and silver, has. Okay? And that's the problem with them. For example, crops. What happens if all of a sudden your wheat crop is destroyed by God because the weatherman, the almighty weatherman, almighty God, destroys the crops because the people are wicked? Now what happens to that money supply if it's based on wheat? It's all out of whack. Okay, there are reasons that we tie ourselves to honest money, to constitutional currency. And it's critical that we understand that. Now, governments right now are taking a shine to digital currencies because they know that that gives them even more control. But scammers are taking a shine. Government's taking a shine. Everybody's taking a shine to digital currency. And it's nothing more than a greater step towards manipulatability. The U.S. Treasury now is calling for stricter control of cryptocurrency compliance. Here comes the U.S. digital dollar, if you will. The central bank wants to figure out how they can get into the cryptocurrency dishonest game. Will Bitcoin eventually compete with the U.S. digital dollar? What will happen on the heels of all this? And there's a lot of open-ended questions, but make no mistake, this relates directly to you and your wallet and your ability to make a living and your prosperity, folks. It really honestly does. And it, the other thing that we need to note and highlight is we wouldn't be able to engage in all these wars. We wouldn't be able to engage in all this deficit spending. We wouldn't be able to engage in government having so much money to wreak havoc on the citizenry and create tyranny without it. So higher inflation is here, and it won't be short-lived, writes Joel Skousen. Now, here's a couple of headlines to finish on. Joe Biden is expected to propose a $6 trillion budget for 2022. $6 trillion budget for 2022 that would break World War II era war debt records. That's even the New York Times reporting that, Chris. I don't even know that you can even describe what $6 trillion is, sir.
Well, we're going to find out, Sam, and these chickens are going to come home to roost. And here's the thing. You may be a multimillionaire today, Sam, but if this $6 trillion budget goes through, which it probably will because all of our politicians have become corrupted and they're blinded, you know, by the gifts that they receive. That's in Isaiah, by the way. You know, our leaders have become blinded by gifts. Here's what's going to happen. And I, to be honest, Sam, I'm ready for this to happen. I don't will the consequences on anybody who is innocent because, you know, they were not part of this process. But if you, like I said, if you have voted for a Democrat or a Republican and you expect them to do anything but what they've been doing for the last 50 years of our lives, what is coming, you deserve. And I know that sounds harsh, and I know that sounds insensitive, and maybe even unchristlike, but you know what? Heavenly Father is going to allow his children, in Heavenly Father's mercy and in his love for his children, he will allow us to experience the consequences of our own stupid actions. And it's going to be
tragic,
hard.
But true. And the Democrats are taking the top of this good cop, bad cop infrastructure, global warming, you know, climate change, whatever you want to say, spending bills and all this kind of stuff, whether it be a coronavirus or whatever else. And the Republicans are supposed to take the bottom number. The Democrats take the top number and then they kind of massage it in between somewhere. But now the Republicans, even the GOP senators, are now offering a quote, new $928 billion infrastructure plan. So now $1 trillion almost is the bottom number that we're even considering for this belligerent, extreme spend. Where we'll end up, I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, it cannot go well, Chris.
It cannot, Sam. And I feel sorry because people, you could have $1 million. You could have $2 million in the bank, Sam, and think that you're secure and that you're going to retire and have the next 30 years of your life and travel and leisure time. But that reality is going to be shattered before your face if we allow these politicians to continue to spend with reckless abandon. And like I said, and I don't mean to beat this dead horse, Sam, but we have nobody to blame but the person that we look at in the mirror every morning when we get up, because we have continually practiced what I call idolatry. When we think that our politicians have our best interests at heart, but when we continually observe them doing things that are against our interests and that will eventually result in the financial destabilization of this country to the point where our dollars will be worth nothing. And it's going to cause chaos. It's going to cause ruin. It's going to cause people committing suicide. It's going to be 10 times worse than the Great Depression, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The problem with these discussions, we're confident we're right. We're not confident that we know the exact timing of things. And that's where they kind of mock us if we put timetables, because when the timetables expire and we're not right, then they try to beat us up. That's why I won't commit to timetables. But I will tell you this, the dishonesty will catch up to us. And it's important to understand that we, the people, need to stand up for what is right. We need to have a clarion call for stability, for honesty. The list goes on and on. We got a lot of work cut out for us. Chris Carlson, thank you, my friend.
You bet, Sam. Thank you, buddy. Have a great day. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Amen to that. God save the Republic of the United States of America.